From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Chris.
Yo. Thanks for hanging in there. I don't know what was going on, but it wasn't me. I've been ready for you all god darn day. This is your boy. What's going on? Welcome to the Bleed Blue Show, man. Oh, that was hell. I don't know what the hell happened, but hey, I'm here. Better late than never. We're gonna try to cram as much as we can into this little tiny bit of time we do. You know, man, I don't know what the hell happened. Anyway, listen, man. Hey, welcome back. Cause I don't, you know, we don't talk much Giants these days, but we're getting ready to jazz it up a little bit. Jason is here. Manny Dogs is here. Carl is here. We're gonna do our inputs and, you know, vibe a little bit. The call-in number is one. Ooh, man, I'm just really mad. Anyway, 929-477-4171. 929-477-4171 is the number. Man, that was tough, but I'm here, and y'all are here. Check us out everywhere: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, www.bleedblueshow.com. This is the Bleed Blue Show. We're gonna talk about tags and prospects and all that good stuff today, tonight rather, depending on where the hell you are. Man, you know, it's been an interesting off season with the New York Football Giants in terms of what they're doing in a kind of, you know, caterpillar kind of way. You know, all kinds of issues concerning Leonard Williams, Nate Solder, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, Zeitler is the one we're going to start with tonight. But we're going to talk a little bit. We need to find out where we at, you know, and we haven't been on for a minute. So this is the perfect opportunity to do so. We have on the show tonight, like I said, Carl is here. What's up, homie? How you doing, bro?
A pleasant good evening to you, Chris, from down here in Dallas, where your national nightmare is over. Dak Prescott has his contract, and finally you can turn off ESPN.
Oh, man. That's another story, another time. This is not the show.
You would think nothing else is going on.
No, I'm gratified that he got a little bit, but at the same time it came with a little bit of ambiguity, I heard, you know. But
it certainly did.
When you come on, I want you to express that a little bit, even though that's not us. Because it has a lot to do with football integrity and what we're doing as a league to a certain degree, you know. So I want to know. But hold on, Carl. Hold up a minute. I think the lit is on somewhere. Let me see. Is this him?
Yeah. Hey, it's been a minute. Chris, how you doing?
It's good. Hey, man. Look, I want to see action with my team. And that's why you're here, so you can explain where the hell we going, where the hell we're headed, what the hell we're going to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't want you guys to say too much, man, because later on we got a pre-draft show, and that's when I want you guys to go the hell off. But I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. So hold on a minute, Lit. Manny, my brother, what's going on? Manny,
yes,
dogs,
sir,
everybody.
No! Can you hear me, man?
Yes, I hear you perfectly, sir.
Wow, boy.
Well, I just wanted everybody to say very happy.
Oh, Lord, he's a full
character
tonight.
I want to say hello to the Dave Gelderbaum.
Oh, my God.
Who's going to be here getting kicked in the balls and around the neck area for the rest of the day. Thank you.
You know what? You got a good point with that. I'm going to tell you what. Steve and I... I'm not gonna hit the bromance button for that, but Steve and I were talking about that today, you know. And one of the things that we don't like is, you know, it's a problem having, you know what, I think I will hit the bromance button because I have to mention one more person. I have to mention your twin, BB Nation. Okay, and you know, one thing that we really despise, really, I mean, critical kind of way, is why do we have a Boston guy running our team with his bastard accent? He says shit like this.
All right, last year, despite the fact that the world essentially closed down mid-match, we had already had we had the All-Star games.
March? Is that a March? March? Oh, man, it's just ugly. I don't know what to fucking say anymore. I'm just beyond myself. It's sickening, and I don't like it. So, you know, you guys like sound bites. This is my sound right here. So, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about these tags and these prospects tonight. We only got an hour show, and we might as well have some fun doing it. Carl, Jason, the incredible Manny Dogs. We're going to talk a little bit and find out I hope you guys can educate everybody out there in the land on where the hell are we going? What are we going to do? First things first, let me just swing right into it. Before anything else, let me just say a few things. Let me say one thing. I'm just so mad. Anyway, we're going to talk about the Zeitler cut real quick. But before we do that, you know, I want to remind everybody of the schedule that's coming up on the Bleed Blue Show. Tuesday, after the game, we got the Rink Podcast, you know, next week with Ranger Proud. We're going to talk about that. And we're gonna have a show after the post game. Before that though, I gotta tell you, because I just want all the Rangers fans to know you guys are not being neglected, even though you guys are in flux, just like the Knicks. Well, Knicks are doing better, so what's another thing? But now Sunday, Steve and I are gonna go over the brackets for the NCAA tournament, and it's going to be interesting. It's gonna start at 8 p.m. After the brackets are announced, and we're just going to go and we're going to, you know, do some prognosticating and figure out where everything's going. On Monday at 9 p.m., the Dugout, spring training and infield show for the New York Yankees, ladies and gentlemen. The New York Yankees, who probably are, if they don't do it this year, I don't know what to tell you. That's another story. We'll save that for that. Also, Wednesday, after the Rink Podcast, is Tuesday, I aforementioned, we're going to talk about the progress of the New York Knickerbockers on the New York Knickerbocker Ad Fan Forum. We're going to talk about the progress of this team. The Knicks are coming, y'all. I'm really, really happy about that. For me personally, first time in 20 years, I'm feeling optimistic about something. And, of course, like I just mentioned a little while ago, we're going to do this again next week. We're going to have the free agency show. We're going to talk about free agents. So whatever you got to say that's on your mind, can you just kind of pause a little bit so you guys can express it to next week when we have a full show? I would appreciate that. I really, 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 really would. Carl, Zeitler, look.
Yes, sir.
This was my thing, okay? I felt that, okay, you know, there was a possibility he would leave. That's fine. But you know what? You can be creative with that if you're a general manager. You could probably, instead of him just walking out the friggin' door, you know, he came here in a kind of a blockbuster for the New York Giants, kind of a blockbuster deal. You could have got him out of here with a blockbuster and actually saved yourself some stress getting some players in here, getting some trade bait in here, getting a draft pick or two. You could have did that, but you didn't. Can you explain why you didn't? Can you explain that, please? Everybody, before call 929-477-4171. 929-477-4171. You're listening to the Bleed Blue Show. We're talking about tags. We're talking about prospects. So, go ahead. I'm sorry, Carl. Carl will continue. Do your thing, bro.
So you got a combination of factors that led to his release. One, his salary was too high relative to his performance last year. I think anybody that saw his performance could come to the conclusion that the $12 million salary that he was being paid did not match up to what you saw on the field. Two, because of the salary cap crunch that a lot of teams are going through this offseason, it was going to lead to some uncomfortable, you know, decisions to be made. Third, once that is both in play, now he gets off. From what I understand about this, I heard this today. I better have someone kind of catch me up on this. He was basically offered to teams throughout the league before he was released, and nobody offered a draft pick for him because they knew the Giants.
Right.
Once that phone call came from the Giants that says, "Hey, this guy's available. Would you mind taking him?" That's basically a sign that you're going to release him. And teams said, "Okay, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to wait for you to release him." And that's exactly what happened. So now that has happened. But the question you would then raise, though, is that, you know, a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about for months, since about, I don't know, August, has been about, quote unquote, the offensive line needing time to gel, right? That's been a term that's been used, a phrase that's been used, a theme that's been used. And now you've played the season out. We're here now. And before free agency starts, you can kind of see where this is going, where basically the right side of the offensive line has to be completely revamped because they've released one player and we do not know 100% as to who the right tackle is going to be. So that whole gelling thing that you heard for months has just been taken and just thrown right in the trash can because you're bringing in new guys here and you're hoping for better performance, but you're not assured of that at all.
Right. And let me ask you something, Carl, because this is what I'm reading. This is just what I'm reading, okay? So Mike Pouncey of the Chargers, he's available, but he's a center. Alex Mack is available. You know, he's also a center at Atlanta. Okay, these guys make $9 million a year. Kevin Zeitler last year made $10 million, and the Giants didn't want to be – You know, they didn't want to get stuck up by $14 million. I get that, but if you're gonna let them go, okay, you gotta get a veteran in there because you just can't let no kid come in there and take his fucking place because you haven't evaluated yourself correctly. So when you got your Eric Fishers and your Riley Rice and your who else is out there? Trent Williams is out there. Russell Okung. These guys cost more than he does. But if you're going to rebuild, and you need a veteran, okay, what are you going to do? This is a question for you, Carl. What are you going to do? You're gonna get another guy like him, older than him, to replace him? Or should you, if you didn't want him, could you have packaged him in a creative way? What could you have done?
I think the only decision was what happened. Was the fact that he was being released. I think now here's the kicker here is that I think there's going to be a flood of free agents with releases after, you know, starting next week and, you know, coming up here. So the gamble that the Giants are making is that they're going to be able to at least replicate his level of performance, Zeitler, I'm speaking about, for maybe half the money that they spent. So let's just say $5 million. That's one option you have on the table that you can do. The other option, which is the option that I would be leaning towards in the draft, because I think I have the player that I would want to select kind of picked out. I would draft an offensive lineman, and I'd stick him at guard because I think the player that – and I'm not sure if he's going to even get to 11 now from how I'm seeing the tea leaves. He may not even get there. But if he does, I think he's an all-pro that would be – at guard if you were to start there, or he'd be the Giants' best offensive lineman if you were drafted. That would be my decision.
Okay. Fair enough. So, Jason, you know, okay, if you're going to do that, because I'm really confused about this sometimes, you know, on the way they do this. Okay, Jason, your thoughts on this, you know, I was going to ask a question, but I'm going to just save it. Jason, what's your thoughts on what Carl just said and, you know, continue on with that thought?
Well, first off, it is great to be back home.
Yes,
with the fellas, chopping it up, Giants football talk. So I'm going to give an alternative situation to what Carl was saying. Him and I kind of chatted briefly about this. This was a panic move based on the salary cap to somehow suffice money for Leonard Williams, period.
Absolutely.
Right now, we were $8 million over the cap. Now we're, I think, Carl would have to answer this. I think we're $5 million or $6 million below. But this was a panic move.
I think after the move, right now it's like $3 million. And that's barely – I'll check it. While Litt's talking,
okay,
I'll look it up the exact number and I'll get it to you.
Okay. So we're gonna mortgage basically a bona fide guy that's been in the system for $3 million. Okay, that's fine. But at the end of the day, this was a panic move by the general manager to start finding money somewhere for his inevitable problem that he's going to have to deal with and eat crow, whether he overpays or that individual walks. This is the start of it. The other thing I just kind of wanted to say that I thought was really, really funny, and I don't really want to take up too much of the time, but David Gettleman gave his interview, his media relations tour this past week, and he made a comment to Kim Jones. I thought it was really funny that David Gettleman said, "I think we're there," or "I believe we're going to get there." Those are completely the polar opposites. Think and believe. What is he, stupid? Think and believe. What is it? I think we're getting there. I believe we're going to get there. He completely made an ass clown of himself to Kim Jones in his statement. Other than that, it's good to be back. I don't want to take up too much of everyone's time. I got a little sick. I'm good. I'm excited about what's going to be happening. And I hope Manny brings it. I'll talk to y'all soon.
Yeah, let's see if he does. Manny, talk to me about
if you're going to do this, Chris, this is the thing. You could have freed up more money if you released Nate Solder. That's one. Okay, Nate Solder's contract is bigger. Second, if you're going to get rid of both of those guys to free up money, you hold on to Zion until draft day. You could get rid of him on draft day. You'd be able to get rid of him and pick up some draft picks. It's just asinine what this guy's doing in the front office. I know we're trying to pay Leonard Williams. Leonard Williams wants defensive end money. I don't know how I feel about that. He was out with a lone pass rusher, and he played a hell of a year last year. But he wants DE money, and that's going to give him an extra, I think, $3 to $4 million a year if he gets that type of money. Looking around the league and watching who they're tagging. And I agree, I think it was Carter said, everybody's kind of in a salary cap crunch because of the COVID year. But this something's got to be done. I have no hope in this GM because he's never shown me creativity. He shows me stubbornness, and he's going to force a round peg in a square hole or a square peg in a round hole, whatever you call it, but that's what he's going to do. And he's going to bang his head or his fat ass up against it until it goes in. And it's going to go in either way. It's going to go in one way, it's going to go in the other.
God dang.
I don't know what his plan is. And then to comment on what Lynn was saying, you can't be there and going there or getting there. You either are or you're not. You're not, I think we're there, or we're getting there. It's one of the two. And then to talk about the continuity of the offensive line. That is a terrible move. We now don't have an entire right side. Now, the only thing I can think of, the only saving grace, is that he spoke to Joe Judge, and he spoke to, the staff, and they believe in Lemieux, and they believe in Matt Perk. That is the only thing that I could think of that they're saying, hey,
all right,
these guys all played together. And that's what I can see happening. If we get rid of Zeitler, we'll be fine because we got Lemieux. We'll keep Hernandez at the left. We'll move Lemieux to the right because he played right last year as well. And then we'll have Matt Peart at the right tackle. A couple of draft picks. Go ahead. My bad.
Wait a minute. Don't get draft yet, bro. We ain't talking draft yet.
You're right. Hold on.
I need you for draft next week. So hold
on. Right.
All right. Again, everyone, 929-477-4171. You know what? Steve and I were talking earlier, man, and I got to agree with him, man. I mean, look, Leonard Williams franchised again. It sounds like the Giants have no idea what to do here. They sound completely strapped. They just hired I forgot my man's name, but they hired – somebody put a front office from the Patriots to assist, you know, in the front office for decisions like this. And to me, unless they do something tomorrow and this weekend, I don't see what the hell is going to be different from the last four or five seasons. I really do not. This is silly. You know, I think the belief is that the Giants issued the tag on Williams as a placeholder, you know, try to keep them in the fold while they, you know, kind of negotiate a long-term deal. But they're going to be hamstrung in free agency if they don't reach until the next few days. That would say not, I don't know, $6-7 million off his cap hit. So I don't know. I don't know what the hell they're doing. I want to move on to another player real quick, though. Real quick. You guys, I want you to be real quick with this. Golden Tate. Now, Steve, again, bringing up Steve again. Azul, where you at, man? You know, he thinks that cutting Golden Tate, you know, that means the draft need for a number one receiver has been, you know, deemed prominent. It's now that's the number one option to go. What do y'all think? Let me know. Carl, what do you think, man?
I think they needed to release him because he simply wasn't a good player at all. His signing is almost like, I mean, let me see how I can put this. It's almost like it's emblematic of these last, like, 3 years because his signing was a panic decision because they traded the guy that they had before because of, quote-unquote, locker room issues or other issues or whatever issues you wanted to, you know, put to the player that was traded. And so they play this guy basically, you know, money that no other team would have paid him. And he performed basically at that level. Like, he didn't do anything that justified the money that was given to him. And so now they release him. Okay, fine. Like that move in particular just gnaws at me completely. I hated it from the time it happened. Now, what does that mean going forward?
Okay, well, let me play devil's advocate for you, Carl. Okay, Shepard, for instance. He's got 3 years remaining on a four-year, $41 million contract. And this year coming up, he's got a $7 million and probably a cap hit of about $9 million. I don't know. All right? If you convert his money and restructure his shit, you know, we could save $1 million in this year's cap, a number one receiver. What's your thought about something like that?
Well, here's the thing about this whole number one receiver issue thing, right? Are the Giants going to become more of a passing team next season? Is that the issue? Because I've thought that the whole identity thing has been, quote-unquote, run-first team. If you're going to bring in a number one receiver, right, and you're going to pay him $19, $20 million or whatever the number is going to be, then there is an assumption that the offense is going to be throwing the ball more, right?
Exactly.
Or no. That's a good question, right? Because you can't have, you can't say, I need a number one receiver. I'm going to go pay a number one receiver at the top of the market. And by the way, the guy that is, there's only one guy available because remember a couple months ago, we were thinking about, oh, maybe they can get this guy. Maybe they can get this guy. Those guys have all been franchise tags. And now there's only one guy. That's it, period. Nobody else. Unless you want to trade for somebody else's, you know, top receiver. So you're going to pay supply and demand a guy who is not one of the 3, 5, 7, 10 best receivers in the league, you're going to be paying him top of the market money and expecting what exactly?
Yeah, real okay, so stop right there. Jason and Manny, I need you guys' thoughts on that. Exactly what Carl just said.
So here's an interesting thing. Carl brought up the run first or are we a passing team? You see, when the general manager was brought on scene, he made mention that I'm going to get hog mollies. We're going to go back to old Giants, old school Giants football, run the ball, smash mouth football. So the whole situation, if you look at every angle that we have gone one step forward, two step backwards, who's the de facto reason? There's a problem here of what we're doing, how we're operating, and listen, we all know who it is. I mean, we're completely contradicting exactly what we're saying, what we're doing, and we're completely doing it in year four of his tenure. So maybe it's best he just shuts his goddamn mouth. I don't know, but now we need to get a high-end receiver. And again, the cutting of Golden Tate was a knee-jerk reaction. It was maybe it was in the best interest of business, production, performance, et cetera, whatever. Maybe he wasn't a locker room guy. Maybe he said things that were detrimental, but it was a knee-jerk reaction. And again, it was because the Giants realized they were going to be in cap hell, which they are. So all of these moves of these high-profile players are knee-jerk reactions, and they were all brought on, unfortunately, by the general manager.
Okay, Manny, what about you? Expound on that one.
At the end of the day, man, if you can't go after Galladay in free agency and pay him like he's Julio Jones. You just don't. If you're going to get a receiver, you get a receiver in the draft. You address defense or an offensive lineman, which I dread in free agency. I would rather you get a D-line or address the defense in free agency, maybe a corner, and you build in the draft. You don't build in free agency. I'm sorry. Not when you're trying to get an identity. Now, again, if we're going to get a receiver, like everybody's just said, are we passing now? Daniel Jones said, 11 touchdowns? 11?
Well, he had no talent, 11. You know, people say.
That's what people say, but our eyes are not lying.
Yeah, you're right. 10-4 on that, Chris. You're 100% right.
Right.
Yeah.
We spent $107 million on our offense.
PFF also named him the most improved player of the year. What the hell were they looking at? He had less yards, less touchdowns, almost the same amount of picks, and only 3 less fumbles. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. But anyway.
Some people would say that's improvement, Manny.
Hey, you guys, hold up. You guys, hold up. I'm going to bring my man Mike wants to talk real quick about something that he has a question about last year. Mike, welcome to the Bleed Blue Show, man. Talk to
gentlemen. I want to go back a little bit into that last Philadelphia.
Mike, I'm going to allow you to do this because we're talking forward, but we're going to let you do this right now for this one time. So go ahead, bro.
Okay, and then I want to get my point, and I want to hear everyone else's frustration with what the Eagles did in the fourth quarter to cost the Giants the division. Now, listen, guys, I know it's a crazy year. The Giants would be under 500 winning the division. They did their part earlier in the day when they beat Dallas. That was an elimination game. You fast forward to the fourth quarter of that Eagles game, and that was one of the most despicable things I've ever seen in my life, them quitting and not putting Hurts in the game. That cost the Giants a division, and people can say whatever they want. I think the Giants give Tampa Bay a better game than Washington. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe that, and who knows if they could have pulled it off. They're at home. Anyway, I just want to hear all your frustration with the way the Eagles quit in that last game in the fourth quarter, and if you could just keep me on hold, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, not a problem. All right, Carl, Jason, Manny, give Mike a minute of your time real quick, please.
No problem. It is not the Eagles' job to do the bidding of anybody else. Period. End of story. That's how I felt about it at the time. I knew about it going into the into the evening. So when it happened, I wasn't all that surprised. Period.
Jason.
Respectfully, of course. I only worry about the New York Football Giants. I don't concern myself with other teams, their operation, their game day operation, who they put in, who they pull. That's it.
Ben.
Fuck them Eagles. That was some bitch-ass shit. And I didn't expect nothing less from little punk-ass Schmeagles. That's what the fuck
okay.
they do.
Okay, that's very clear and concise. Mike, I'm going to tell you what I think. I am actually with you, bro. I am – man, he's a sick man. I'm actually with you, Mike. I am with you 1,000%. They threw that shit just to throw us off. Even though it's not – and Carl is right. Carl is absolutely right. It's not another team's responsibility to make our destiny happen the way it should. However, that was deliberate. It was direct, and it was – spot on from their franchise, the sabotage that occurred. That was back in Brooklyn where I'm from, they have a term for it. It's called, here it is. It's called, man, that was fucked up. That's how they say it. And that's exactly what happened. Mike, I'm totally with you. So, hey, Brian, it is what it is. Mike, everybody. Everyone, 929-477-4171 is your Bleed Blue show call-in number. We're talking tags and prospects. We got, like as I said, Carl, Jason, and Manny's right here. They're answering all the freaking pertinent questions because they are the intelligentsia of the New York Football Giants. Moving right along here. Oh, my God. What a show, huh? Anyway. I was going to ask another question. This question was about, I know what it was. It's coming from Steve himself. I think it was something to the degree of Joe Judge's commentary on needing Evan Engram. I need you guys to spend less than 2 minutes answering that one. Needing. Let me say this again. Needing Evan Engram. Needing him. Carl, do we need this motherfucker?
Evan Engram is the Gary Sanchez of NFL players, okay? I'll just put it in those terms.
God damn.
Okay. The Giants are gonna go. They're gonna go down swinging this. If they have to go all the way down to the depths, they're gonna go all the way down with them, and they're gonna sink with this dude. So get used to it.
Oh my God!
You know, pucker up, and you know whatever it is you got to do. Because they are going to ride this puppy unless some team is crazy enough to give them a third round draft pick, which will not happen.
Oh man. Lit, what's your thought? Gary
I mean, you know, you look at it, either he's a turnover machine or an error machine in baseball, but I mean I just can't articulate why there would be any type of reason to keep him going as a Giant. I just don't know. You don't want to be negative about it, but you just have, there's a lot of uncertainty. I just don't know how to answer that question. It's kind of
that's a
good
question. No, that's a good answer. Good answer. That is the answer, Lit. Manny.
I'm going to go with my coach is sly, and he put that out there so that he can trade him on draft day. That's what I think. He's like, I need this guy. He's a Pro Bowler. So that
okay, I'm losing you, Manny. Manny, I'm losing you, bro.
Yeah.
I'm losing
you. You got me?
Can you hear me?
Okay, now I got you. Better.
I said this. Okay. I'm thinking my coach is sly, and he's figuring it, and he's selling. This is a great guy. He's a Pro Bowler. I need this guy, and we're going to trade him on draft day. That's what I hope for. Other than that, hell no, we don't need Evan. We need Evan Engram like we need another Daniel Jones in the first round.
Look, next week is our draft show, and I'm going to give you a little spoiler. I'm just going to say just this one statement. If Kyle Pitts falls to a number 11, and I'll leave it right there. 929-477-4171 is our number, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to Bleed Blue Show with Carl Litt and Manny joining me. I don't know what the hell we're doing sometimes. I really cannot call it. All right. So we went over everything. We went over Zeitler. We went over Judge's commentary. We went over Golden Tate, Leonard Williams. So, okay, play GM, everyone. What's the next move? What should we do? If you're going to be proactive and you want a championship team out of this particular franchise right now, okay, this is the team that, you know, they've won a couple of championships the past 12 years or, yeah, something like that, 13 years, okay? And if you want to get them back there again, you got to make the right moves and you got to open up your bank account and you got to be creative and you got to have a vision, which – I tell you what, the defense is almost there. I really, really like what we're doing there. You know, big ups to Patrick Graham. I don't understand what the hell's going on with the offense at all, from the wide receivers to the offensive line. I know we got stud running back, and I don't know what the hell we're going to do with the quarter. Okay? That's where we are. That's exactly where we are. We are the New York Football Giants at this point. Okay, this is me personally. You know, I'm a sentimental history kind of guy. I just wish Bill Parcells was here in a capacity where he can just give some kind of guidance. I really do. But he's not. And we have what we have. And what we have is we're not excited about what we have is what we have. And I don't know what the next move. All we have is this.
Chris. All right, last year, despite the fact that the world essentially closed down mid-March, we had already had Indy. We had the All-Star games.
Look, Carl, where do we go from here?
I think the way this has been structured, because we're going now into year four of, put in parentheses, this, which I'm not totally sure what this is exactly. I'm trying to figure out where all this is headed, where the chips go, because I'm confused by something, and I want to ask this and frame it and have everybody else comment on this. So I saw someone provided an analysis of this at the end of last season, that the Giants as a team, the Giants in terms of the NFL spent the seventh most amount of money in the NFL on offense last season, and yet finished 31st in offense. And yet, from what I'm gathering, the idea of this offseason is to spend more money on offense. Now, I'm a little confused by that. So that tells me that we're not getting a return on investment. And I guess my question for everybody is this. How is it that we have a team with the roster as it's currently constructed, with a quarterback and a left tackle basically making peanuts, and the team – seems to have salary cap problems?
It's called creativity or lack thereof. Answer that question, please.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
You know, I actually, that's what Carl actually sent me that statistic, which kind of blew me away. I mean, I did not realize that we had the seventh highest
Carl
payroll
sent you,
on office.
Carl sent you that. Whoa. Did you say
yeah.
Carl sent you that statistic?
Yeah, he sent me he sent me a screenshot of that layout that somebody did. Very interesting
okay.
to know that. And listen, I don't. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Continue.
What I wanted to say, which is very interesting, and I'm not trying to take away Carl's thunder, but Carl made a really, really good point that he forgot to mention, that I'll mention it for him. If we had the seventh highest payroll for offense and the 31st actual offensive production without Saquon Barkley or Nate Solder, do you think we would have gone from 31st to, let's just say, 15th with Saquon Barkley and Nate Solder on the team? No. So the powers that be completely goofed to assemble, and what they assembled, the return was terrible at the seventh highest payroll on offense. What are they doing? Who's in charge? You have all these guys in there. Kevin Abrams, supposed to be the contract guru, understands a budget. Obviously, they weren't worried about a budget. Now, all of a sudden, they're turning into deficit hawks. Kind of funny, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Manny, what do you got to say about what Litz just said?
I'm going to tell you what it is. It's when you trade all these high-priced players. I'll tell you how. This is the logic that Gettleman has shown repeatedly. I'm going to sign OBJ to the richest contract ever. Then I'm going to trade him, and I'm going to take that dead cap hit. Okay? I'm going to
care about the money then.
Right? And I'm going to take the Olivier Vernon deal, and I'm going to take that dead cap hit. You just kept taking the shots to the balls repeatedly. That one year, he just hit me in the nuts again. And you don't think it was going to catch up? And then he spent it. What happens is he does it. He's always a year too late or too early. Now he spends all this money on the offense. I don't know where, but he spent it.
Don't know how.
Right. He spends it on all this. On last year, he spends this money along with the dead cap. That was the biggest thing.
Okay, Manny, bro. What you doing with your phone,
yeah,
man? He's snapping up. Take it off speaker and just talk.
I said, along with the dead cap hits, he spends his money a year late. There's nothing available in free agency last year offensively. And now this year, when we need something, we don't have it. This is what he always does. He's always a year too late or a year too early. He's never on time, and he makes really bad knee-jerk reaction moves. And he's doing it again this year. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And that's what we're dealing with right now. He doesn't – this offense we spent all that money, we just killed it again. You build the offense in the trenches. You keep an offense. I know Zeitler was going to cost money. I get it. I'd rather you cut other people than cut on the offensive line. Solder, you could have got rid of. He didn't play all year. We didn't need him.
That's true.
You know what
That's
I mean?
True.
But you take Zeitler, who was in the middle. Now, you again, like I think it was Lit or Carl, one of them. The whole right side again. Like I said, the only thing that I can think of is they think Lemieux and Pert can step in and be viable starters.
Okay,
keep
but going. Hey, okay.
No,
but Betty, they're going to have to cut the dude. Okay, because if you designate him a post June 1st cut, I think it's June 1st, yeah, you could save $10 million. But you gotta, you know, you gotta carry a $6 million goddamn cap hit. But you also need to clear money for free agency, and you can't do that if you do that. Now,
nope.
Cutting them now reverses those numbers, saving them. You know, you can save $6 million, you can carry $10 million in dead money. But you know, my point is that should
they cut the
have
wrong
been
line
part
they
of
cut
if you
the
didn't
wrong
want
line.
To do right. If you didn't want to do, you could have done that creatively and saved something. But now you're strapped because it's already friggin' March 11th. What are you going to do? Now you, the best thing you could do is you got to get another team involved, and you got to shop this dude. You got to shop him. And hopefully you could get a draft pick or maybe a decent free agent there to help you out. But we're here we go again with a bad, bad, very, 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 very bad freaking franchise move once again. We keep doing this shit, man. It's really, really hard to be a fan.
All right, last year,
you got shit like this.
Despite the fact that the world essentially closed down mid-March, we had already...
Oh, God.
Who the fuck is doing that?
We're in mid-March right now.
That's the... See, Chris, that's the issue. It seems like they keep recycling the same problems. Every other year or every year. You know, like now... So going into last season, right? Nobody seemed to have an issue with the receiving core. All of a sudden, the receiving cores in 2020 were so bad that now that they have to, we have to go get a receiver. It's like it's a reactionary.
We only got 9 minutes left in the show. Let me ask you something real quick, Lynn. Let me ask you something real quick.
Okay.
I need you to answer it quick because I'm going to ask all the fellas. Okay, let's take that for instance. We had a problem with the receiving core, okay? We did. Last year. Now all of a sudden we do. Okay? Now, don't you think we need a quarterback to get to – because, listen, everybody was hard on Tate, but I'm not sure he was the actual problem. Okay? I didn't see any consistency coming out of our offense. And I can truly point – there was a lot of instances last year, but I can truly point to the second quarter of the Raven game where – the defense was on the field for 12 and a half minutes. Okay? Isn't there something – doesn't your vision need to be, if never before, doesn't it need to be enhanced now regarding that situation? Because now you got a multitude of problems. You got a sorry quarterback.
Yeah.
You have a problem. You identified a problem with your offensive line and your receivers and your tight end who's a Pro Bowler for some fucking reason. And you got a stud quarterback, running back coming back, and he doesn't even know what offense he's going to be in. So go ahead, answer that one.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it all really kind of starts there. We've been kind of talking around it for a while, and we try to avoid that conversation, you know, just for the fact that we don't want to beat it into the ground. But when you really look at it, you know, what team do you want to be with the quarterback that you have? Are we going to be an offensive team that is trying to explode and put points on the board? Are we a team that wants the quarterback to be, you know, a game manager? Nobody seems to that answer really hasn't been determined. We don't know that. And that is really kind of the catalyst for all of these other issues.
Just in another analogy, it's almost like the Giants are a sailboat and they have to, you know, every time the wind changes, they got to adjust that sail to keep on moving. And they're just adjusting in a different direction every day to Sunday. And there is no continuity. There is no they're just doing different things every day. And they need to be consistent. We don't know what their identity is. We don't know where they're going. They're bringing in personnel to do this thing, and they're bringing in personnel to do it a different way. You just have a mishmash of people that are pretty much throwing up their arms, like, what the hell are we doing? Why am I in this offense? This doesn't curtail to me. You got situational prowess to where they really just clean up, and it's just not been cleaned up. For the directional purposes.
Wow. Manny, follow Jason up, please.
It's really simple. If you keep changing your philosophy on offense every year, you're always going to
get what you always got. You're always going to get what you always got. And right now, we look confused as an organization. We look completely confused.
Wow. All right, gentlemen. Well, you know, we're coming down to the wire here for our show. Steve is on various podcasts, sports podcasts from across the country talking NBA. Everybody can see that on the Facebook fan page. Check out the Facebook fan page. that we have. You know, you see also can see video episodes and video highlights and video breakdowns of everything, every sport that we cover. All right, Carl, my man. Final thought from Dallas.
Yes, sir. Hey, as we say goodbye here, you know, I think all of us have a lot of questions that we've been trying to get answers to. And I think a lot of us are kind of just frustrated because I think we, a number of us at least, see that something doesn't seem to smell right. And we kind of know how this movie appears to be ending. We don't want to say it, but it is that fear that this is just not going to end well. And we're hoping that there's a different ending to the story, but it's just not a good feeling right now.
That's right. It's not. Jason.
You know, in the next week to 10 days, but probably in the next 7 days, I think we're probably going to be in the same boat as how we feel by what we're seeing, what we're hearing. And, you know, Carl's right. Inside, we already know how the movie is going to end. I wish there was an alternate theory, but in reality, this is just one step forward, two steps back. And I think we're going to see more clarity of how the one step forward, two steps back in the next week or so. There's, you know, going again, and it's all going to be based on knee-jerk reactions.
Wow. And Manny Dogs.
There's
can you hear me?
Manny Dogs?
Yeah, you got me?
I got you already, bro.
Holler if you hear me.
I hear you.
My final thought is this, man. Things are going to look like this until Ghetto Bum is out of it. Period.
That's your final thought?
That's it. As long as Ghetto Bum is controlling it, we're always going to be figuring out what
last year, despite the fact that the world essentially closed down mid-match, we had already had the All-Star game.
I had to say that. Look at
it sounds so wicked good. Mid-match.
Go pack that cash.
Well,
I should just retire to Boston.
I know. Don't you have a little? And me personally, I got to say this real quick before we go. Hey, I have a problem with a Boston guy being in charge of my favorite. I love all the New York area teams. We covered several here, but I love them all. And I have a problem with a pro Boston dude being in charge here. I just have a problem.
No doubt.
I'll leave it right there. Now listen, we're going to be back for football exactly next Thursday, March 18th. Everybody that's listening on the show, 929-474-1771. You'll hear Carl, and you'll hear Jason, and you'll hear Manny back here again with other folks. And we're going to be here for the free agency episode, and we're going to talk more like this. And we're gonna, and then later on, we're gonna have other shows to as well, you know, to include the draft show, which is gonna be a long one, and these fellas will be here. You're gonna hear this entertaining commentary. By the way, the Bleed Blue Show is honoring GOAT female, greatest of all time, female sports individuals and teams on a Facebook page. Please look at that because that's very important. It's historic and it means a hell of a lot. It really does. Oh, man. You know what? I tell you what. Manny's gone. Carl and Jason. Well, Mike is gone as well. Carl and Jason, I thank you, man, for you guys just being here and being who you are, bro. I appreciate you completely. You know, everybody, I thank you very much for listening in. Make sure you like us on everything on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio as well. Thank you so much. Liz, Carl, peace to you, brothers. I appreciate you guys. You know, you will be here next week. Excuse me. Did you hear me? I don't know if you heard that. You will be here.
Anytime.
Carl, you have to be here, man. You got like your own personal seat, you know? You got your own little chair there. Lit, you better stay forever, man. Me and you go back. So you know how that works. But listen, thanks for listening to the Bleed Blue Show, everyone. We totally appreciate it. Look, call in next Thursday to the Giants Show, 929-477-4171. Oh, man, I tell you what, man. This is, you know, you guys got me thinking. What are we going to do? What are the next moves? I don't know. But
that's what's
going to
bring us all to the table.
Pretty much. Anyway, listen, we can dig it, so let's go.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.